Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. As we begin our Bible study today, we're in the book of Revelation. Our starting point today is Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. However, I got an email this week that said, last week, when you were talking about Mystery Babylon and how the church in the fourth century did the same thing as the scribes and Pharisees, you were about to tell us, and then somebody asked a question, and you didn't go back and tell us. You just went back to Revelation 18 and picked up. You can't do that to us. So this morning, we're going to fill in the blanks. I want you to open up in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 7. And if I'm going to explain to you how the church did the same thing that the scribes and Pharisees did, I need to let you know what the scribes and Pharisees did. The book of Mark, chapter 7. And I want to explain it a little more thoroughly than I have in the past. In Mark chapter 7, let me let you get there. Give me a thumbs up when you're there. Make sure it's a thumb because I can tell the difference, okay? Verse 6, Messiah answered and said to them, that is the scribes and the Pharisees, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? You guys all know the word hypocrite means actor, one who plays a part, pretends to be something they're not. As it is written, meaning written in the Torah, in the scriptures, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And verse 7 is the key. And in vain, meaning emptiness, without effect, uselessness, they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Verse 7 is so clear and critical because it says they worship God, but they do it by following the commandments of men rather than the commandments of God. And God says, that doesn't cut it. Now, what did they do? Keep a finger here or a pencil, your neighbor's nose, whatever. And turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 12. And let me show you two things God told us never, ever to do. And then we're going to look and see how they did them both. Deuteronomy 12, the very last verse. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32. Says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it, meaning that which I commanded. Says, you shall not add to it, nor take away from it. So we break the Lord's commandments and his word when we do either take away from what he commanded or add to what he commanded. Do you see that? Either way. So go back to Mark chapter 7, and we have an example of each. First, how they added to the word of God and made new commandments that he didn't give. And then the Lord's going to give one example of how they took away a commandment from the Lord. So he's going to show that they did both. So in Mark chapter 7, you guys know, you all know, that the context is the ceremonial hand washing called Netilat Yadayim, a ceremonial washing of the hands. We take a two-handled cup. You guys know the term. And in verse 5, it says, then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders? That phrase, the tradition of the elders, means not God's commandment, but our man-made rules and regulations that we have added to the commandments of God. So the scripture we read in Deuteronomy 12 said, don't add to or take away from. Here they added to. It says, but eat bread with unwashed hands. Is there anything wrong with eating bread without washing your hands? You might get sick, but that's not a sin. Is there anything that breaks God's commandments if we wash our hands before we eat bread? The answer is no. God's commandments say nothing about whether you must or can't wash your hands before you eat bread. But the Pharisees made a rule that said you must wash your hands in a ceremonial way before you eat bread. That was adding to the commandments of God. And then in verse 8, the Lord says, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. That is, you've replaced God's commandments with your own man-made traditions. It says the washing of pitchers, cups, and many other such things you do. He says you have many times added to the word of God. I only needed to show you one, because if you did it once, you're guilty, right? And then verse 9, he says, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you keep your tradition. For Moses said, here's one example of where God gave a commandment and you set it aside and put your man-made rules and regulations in his place. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profits you might have received from me is korban, that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his mother or his father, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you've handed down, and many such things you do. So he said, you have many additions to the commandments. You have many taking aways from the commandment. He said, I only need to show one. And he showed one of each. So let's take a moment and look back to the fourth century. You could look at many centuries, but this is where we have the official documentation where things happened. And let's start first, as Messiah did, with what did God command? So first, let's start with just one commandment, and that is the Sabbath. Where does the Sabbath originate? Go back to Genesis chapter 2, to the first week of creation. God has created for 6 days, and then comes the seventh day. It's the seventh day of the world. The seventh day of creation. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, it says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Sanctified means set it apart, made it different from all the other days of the week. Because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. In verse 2, in the middle of the verse, you see the word rested. In verse 3, about two-thirds of the way through the verse, you see the word rested. The Hebrew word is Hebrew word number 7673, and it's Shabbat. That's where the word Sabbath comes from. This is the verb from which the noun Sabbath comes. Sabbath simply means the day of rest. Now, I always heard growing up that the Sabbath day originates in the Ten Commandments. But here we see this is thousands of years before the Ten Commandments. It's thousands of years before there were any Jewish people. And God set aside the seventh day and sanctified it, made it separate, holy, and distinct. Because on that day he rested. The next time we see the Sabbath is in the book of Exodus, chapter 16, which is 4 chapters before the Ten Commandments are given. It just reinforces the fact that this is not just something in the Ten Commandments that God thought of on the Mount Sinai and said, let me add one more. In Exodus chapter 16, look at verses 23 to 29. Exodus 16, verses 23 to 29. And says, then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Whose Sabbath is it? Is it a Jewish Sabbath? No. Is it an Israeli Sabbath? No. Whose Sabbath is it? It's the Lord's. Bake what you will bake today, that is Friday, and boil what you will boil, talking about the manna from heaven, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Verse 24 is significant because if you gather too much on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the next morning it would stink and would be full of worms. But on Friday they were to gather twice as much, and on Saturday it was still fresh and warm and ready to eat. So it was a demonstration of God's support and provision for the people. On the Sabbath day, there would be no manna from heaven, so they had to gather twice as much on Friday, and God kept it preserved, where the other days, if they gathered too much, it would stink. Verse 25, then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, not a seventh day, but the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. You know what? God got another one right. The Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? This is before the Lord comes down in Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 20. It's before the Ten Commandments are given. The law and the commandments of God don't originate at Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 20. At the giving of the Ten Commandments. All the way back in Genesis chapter 26, we saw last night, Abraham kept God's laws and his commandments. But verse 29 says, see, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on a 6 day bread for 2 days. Who is the you? Who's the you? Children of Israel. Was it just the Jewish people, or did it include the Gentiles that were the mixed multitude that came out? Did the Gentiles go hungry? No, this is all the people, Jew and Gentile alike. Let every man remain in his place, so let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So he said, don't go out and search for it. It's not there. Do what I tell you to do, and all will be well. And then in Exodus chapter 20, in the Ten Commandments, we find the requirement to remember the Sabbath day. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Verses 8 through 11 tells us who is to keep the Sabbath. Verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day, not a Sabbath day, but the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor. It should read, 6 days you may labor. It's not a commandment to work 6 days in a week. It's an allowance. You're permitted. 6 days you may labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Again, he reiterates, it's the Lord's Sabbath. It's not ours. He gives it to us. He shares it to us. He requires us to observe it, but it's his day. In it you shall do no work. Who's the you? That's the children of Israel, including the mixed multitude, shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, see, not even the animals, nor your stranger, that is the non-Jew who dwells with Israel, who is within your gates, the Ger HaShaar. And verse 11 tells us why this is so important to the Lord. For means because in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, what does therefore mean? Because this is true, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, set it aside, made it distinct, made it different, made it holy. So when we keep and worship on the Sabbath day, we remember that it's God who created the heavens and the earth. Baal didn't do it. Ishtar didn't do it. Satan didn't do it. We didn't do it. It didn't just evolve out of the muck and mire in the universe. Rather, God created the heavens and the earth. So in Exodus chapter 31, God reiterates that there's a purpose and a reason for keeping it. It's a sign. The Hebrew word sign is ot, O-T-H. In English, O-T-H. A sign, like my wedding ring is a sign that I am married to my beautiful bride, wherever she went with the baby. But she's here. And you know I'm married, see? That's the sign. Exodus 31, verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, that word saying means that what follows is a quote. There are no quotation marks in biblical Hebrew. This is the way you know the words came out of the Lord's own lips. Theopneustos, God breathed, to use the words of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Speak also to the children of Israel, which includes the mixed multitude. It's a broader term than if he just said, speak to Israel. That's why he uses the term the children of Israel. Saying, meaning don't you change a word. Surely, which means absolutely, you will do this. Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. Why does he say my Sabbaths? Why does he just say your Sabbaths? Whatever Sabbath you choose. No, he's very specific. My Sabbaths, the ones that I set aside. For it is a sign, there's that word oat, between me and you throughout your generations, which means forever, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. That word, that means here's the reason. Here's why it's so important, that you may know that I, the Lord our God, am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore. Therefore means because I am the Lord and I'm the one who sanctifies you. And if you don't keep the Sabbath, you're going to forget that. Therefore, for it is holy to you. Holy means set aside and separate, sanctified, made different. Everyone that is Jew or Gentile alike who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done. Again, his work may be done for 6 days. But the seventh, that's the definite article in Hebrew, which means a specific seventh, is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Again, it emphasizes it is holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on a Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. To keep means to guard, to protect, to treat it as precious and holy. To observe the Sabbath, which means to celebrate it, to keep it, throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. The word perpetual means without end. And what did God say in Psalm 89:34? My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my mouth. Verse 17 reiterates, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, as if he hasn't said that enough times already. For, because, here's why. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested, he shabbatted, and was refreshed. Verse 18, when he finished speaking this, he writes it on stone. Not on paper that will disintegrate in a few years, but on stone that it lasts forever. Next time you see this Sabbath that is important to our teaching today is Exodus chapter 35. I've taught on the Sabbath before, but I don't think ever in this much detail. And there's a reason for it. I'm going to let you guess. No, I'm going to reveal it at the end. Exodus chapter 35, verses 1 to 3. Moses has come down from the mountain with the tablets of stone. In verse 1, it says, then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together. All the congregation of the children of Israel, the Jews and the Gentile mixed multitude, and said to them, these are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. Work shall be done, that's may be done for 6 days, but the seventh day, not a seventh, but the seventh day, shall be a holy day for you. What does holy mean? Separate, set apart, different, distinct from the others. A Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day. And then let's skip over to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. Verse 31. But for you to understand verse 31, what the context is, who the audience is, let's start in verse 29. So we'll start in Leviticus 16, verse 29. This shall be a statute forever for you. For how long? Forever. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. Does that make it clear that it's for Jew and non-Jew alike? Verse 31, it is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. Leviticus 19, verse 3. To understand the context of verse 3, we'll start in verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, what's that word saying again? Quote, these words are God-breathed. What did Messiah say in Matthew 4:4? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This word saying tells you it's from the mouth of God. Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, that is the whole group, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. Notice the tie-in to Mark 7 here. And keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Go next to Leviticus chapter 22. No. Leviticus 19, verse 30. Verse 30. Leviticus 19, verse 30. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Now Leviticus 23. What we're seeing in Leviticus is that there are other days other than the seventh day Sabbath that are also Sabbath days to the Lord. In Leviticus 19, we saw a reference to the Day of Atonement. Here in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24, I wanted particularly to highlight this one, because this one is this coming Monday, the Feast of Trumpets. Starts Sunday night in the evening. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, that's the month of Tishri, on the first day of the month, that's Monday, beginning Sunday night to Monday night, you shall have a Sabbath rest. Notice rest is in italics. A Sabbath means a rest. A memorial, a remembrance of blowing of trumpets. The teruah, the awakening trumpet blast, a holy convocation. That memorial of blowing of trumpets is what ties this day to the rapture and resurrection, which in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, and Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, are tied to the blowing of the trumpet, the shofar, the teruah, the awakening trumpet blast. And then also in Leviticus 23, yeah, go ahead.
Ryan, I've got a bit behind putting down which verses. The Exodus 35 verse, what was that? And the one following Leviticus 16.
Leviticus 35 was verses 1 to 3. I'm sorry, Exodus 35, 1 to 3, thank you. I was trying to remember the question. Then Leviticus 16, 31.
Thanks very much.
Yep. Got it? Okay, cool. Don't let me get too far ahead and go too fast. We have till the Lord comes. That's at least a day or two. We're in Leviticus 23, aren't we? Yes, verse 32. Verse 32 is talking about the Day of Atonement, which is 10 days after this coming Monday. The Feast of Trumpets is on the first day of the biblical month of Tishri, and 10 days later is the Day of Atonement. Who can tell me what the days are called between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement? What are those days called? They're called the Days of Awe, Yamim Noraim, which means the Days of Fearfulness, Frightfulness, describing the tribulation period. Yep.
Wayne?
Yeah.
Do you look at any particular, there's a Karite or Kararite site I normally look at for whether or not the moon was sighted?
Yeah, I don't care about any of that.
You don't care when it was sighted? Or?
I care about when it was sighted, but not the Kararite view.
Okay, but my question was, who is there a site that you look at as a reliable as to what
I usually check four or five different sources and see when they post that the moon has been sighted. Even the Karaite site. I just don't put my trust and faith in just one.
No, I mean, there's two I look at. I just can't remember what the other one was. But yeah. I didn't know if there was, you know, because one site will have it when another one does. And
so right. So that's why I look at multiple to make sure it was really seen.
And there's no official.
No official site. Leviticus 23:32, again, is about the Day of Atonement. It says, you shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout all your throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest. So there are seven of the feast and festival days that are Sabbath days, even if they don't fall on our weekly Saturday.
Wayne?
Yes?
I'm following that, and one of the other verses in it says, you shall afflict your beings.
Yeah, it means to fast.
It means to fast, okay.
Yeah. The Lord describes when he let the children of Israel go hungry in the wilderness as afflicting their souls. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 8. This has to do with the priests in the temple replacing the bread on the table of showbread. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 8. It says, every Sabbath, he, that is the high priest, shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. Did the Lord intend this Sabbath to be a temporary commandment? No. By an everlasting covenant means without end. Leviticus 26, verse 2. Leviticus 26, verse 2. Leviticus 26, verse 2. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. And notice verse 3. There's a promise. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. In other words, you will have a comfortable life with plenty to eat. Almost hate to ask this, but have any of you ever been hungry? Not pleasant, is it? Not pleasant. The Lord promises that you will have food in its season. Leviticus 26, 34 to 35. So same chapter, verses 34 and 35. Yep, go ahead. Thought I heard something online, maybe not. Leviticus 26, verses 34 and 35. The Lord says, if you turn away from me, you stop observing my Sabbaths, you turn to other gods, there's consequences, and that consequence is captivity. And the Lord promises in verse 34, then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths. See, the Sabbath applies not just to man, but to the animals and to the land itself. As long as it lies desolate. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.